What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
On KMOX, Ricky Horton is taking a little bit of time off. Scott Terry, former Cardinal pitcher and friend of the show, is filling in. Scott, thank you. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, for me to fill in for Ricky Horton, what an honor and a privilege. But not only that, to be on the Dave Glover show. Are you kidding me?
It's a twofer, man.
Scott says, is this your first career pitch hitting performance?
Yeah, Scott's first.
No, you know better than that, Kevin. You know back in the day I actually got to pinch hit a little bit.
Yeah. Yep, I've heard the stories.
I was one of those pitchers that could actually hit on occasion.
Do you miss that about the game, Scott? Like, are you acceptor of the DH and it's all good?
I mean, I'm an acceptor of it. It's going to be what it is. I understand the benefit of it. But to play the game the way that we played it with the pitcher, you know, a lot more strategizing, you had to use a lot more bench players, and the idea that a pitcher can actually help himself on occasion. You know, we had one of the better hitters when I played in Bob Forsch. Yeah. And so we had some guys that could do a little bit of damage and that could certainly move runners over, and it just created a different style of play.
Boy, I know it's the same game. I just finished watching the first time the Ken Burns baseball doc. I know it's the same game that's been played all this time, but your era, which is my era of fandom, it seems so different than today. Is it that much different to you, Scott?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, just the whole idea, the preparation, the aspect of the game from a strategy standpoint. The criteria of the players and what you're looking for and what you're asking them to do in certain situations. Even the language of it has changed a lot. So it is a different game. We know the fundamentals. You got to hit it. You got to catch it. You got to throw it. You got to run. We know those will always be in place, but a lot of the other aspects of it have changed.
So all the analytics we have now, and especially, you know, with pitching, do you wish you would have had that back in your day, or do you kind of roll your eyes at it a little bit?
Well, I think we had it to a certain degree, but not near to the detail or the technology of it. I mean, I used to keep a book, so I knew what Bip Roberts, as an example, did against me, the leadoff hitter for San Diego. I knew what he did every at bat. I knew what the count was when I hit, what he hit and where he hit it. And I did that on my own. You remembered things. You went to other guys in reference to how do you pitch this guy? What is he good with? You know, where can I throw a fastball on a 3-1 count and he can't hurt me? We did chart. We actually had to do them ourselves. I can remember sitting behind home plate at Busch Stadium and charting every pitch and putting a dotted line when it was a ground ball and a solid line when it was a line drive. And we kept charts on every hitter. We kept charts for every pitcher against the hitter. So we had a lot of that. We just didn't have the, 6 or 8 guys that are in the other room doing it for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, doing it by hand was a lot. You know, we used to joke, Scott, you were around Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan a lot. And it was a lot of their time was during your playing days. And then, of course, their time here was a little after that. But we used to joke that Dave Duncan was essentially his own analytics department. He had the big trunk with all the notebooks and the different color-coded things. And, like, that level has always been there. But, you know, with computers and the ability to take 10 seasons worth of data and throw it in together, not just when you face them, but when everybody faces that hitter or pitcher is what we're looking at now.
Yeah, I mean, we had a big, thick book. Mike Rourke was our pitching coach, and he was very good with all that stuff as well. And a pitching coach being a catcher, to me, it seemed like they had a little different way of going about things. Mike Rourke had a catching background, just like Dave Duncan did. Mm-hmm. And so they had a better idea and a better way of what they felt like was important in reference to the information and the data that you needed to keep. We would have our team meeting prior to a series, and it would be the whole team. And, you know, we would go into a series, and every hitter was a fastball hitter. And so I would just kind of, at the end of the meeting, said, well, I guess I'm not pitching this series. And we would just settle about it because I was a fastball pitcher. But then you understand and you know the idea of actually pitching instead of just out there and throwing.
Scott, anytime we have someone on from, by the way, we're talking to Scott Terry here. Anytime we have someone on from the Whitey era, I have to talk to him about Whitey. A few legends these days, but he's certainly one of them in St. Louis. What was your personal relationship with Whitey like?
It was great. The very first day that I got to the Cardinals, I walked in the locker room, and our equipment guy at the time, Buddy Bates, just told me Whitey wants to see you in his office. I walked in his office. He said, Scott Terry, sit down. I've been trying to get you for 3 years. Here's what you're going to do.
That's awesome.
And this is what we know you can do for us. And welcome here. And I know you're gonna do well for us. And so, I mean, it's very simple to be able to understand that. And he was a father figure for me. I call him my baseball dad. But he was also just a great man and an easy man to talk to with an open door. Now, a lot of people can say they have an open door policy, but a lot of people don't want to walk through the door.
Yeah.
But with Whitey, it was real easy to walk through the door. And he just made a point of always, you know, coming around at some point in time and, hey, how's it going? And he would always ask about the family. He would always ask about the off-field stuff as well as on the field.
It's a fascinating thing, Scott, because what we all see, we being all of us that are on the outside, not in a clubhouse, not on a team, we see decisions, right? We see he put on a bunt play here, or he used this reliever there and not that one. Like, that's what we see. But what you're describing is so much more just managing the human beings and managing the people so that you can get the best out of each guy.
And I think, Kevin, that's what Whitey was the best at. And I think every player that ever played for him would tell you that he is not going to put somebody into a situation where he knows that they can't be successful. He's going to give you your best opportunity of success as well as your team, you know, as well as the organization. And when you play it that way, everybody benefits from it.
Scott, I make this personal. I just this summer started playing baseball again after 30 years off playing in a 60 and over league, and it's partially your fault. Wheels and I came out to Busch Stadium last year and did a little mini camp with you, and just standing, I'd never been on the field before, just standing at shortstop and then taking a grounder and catching it, I'm like, I'm in. I'm all back in. So I'm in the world of pulled hamstrings, and, you know, it's just been so great.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what hurts, and then I figured probably everything.
everything hurts.
But, you know, Dave, if you would have told me that right when you started, we could have had you out to one of our kids' clinics. We would have put you in a group of 12-year-olds. And you would have done outstanding. We would have taught you grips on ball, ground ball positioning, fly balls, hitting off. We would have got you ready, Dave. I'm telling you.
I tell you what, I could use it. The first fly ball I saw, I'm just like, I'm not even close.
I'm not going to lie, man. Knowing Dave as long as I've known Dave and Scott's, having seen you do lessons and do camps for, I don't know, now 15, almost, you know, 18 years, I would love to see you tell Dave Glover, we can keep doing this your way and getting this result, or you can do this my way and get the good result.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably look at Dave and I'd say, do you not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Oh, trust me. I was sufficiently intimidated just being out there a little bit. I'm very coachable.
I can just tell you, Dave, there is no look like the look that a 15-year-old pitcher gives Scott Terry.
Yeah.
When Scott's trying to explain something to him. And the kid gets it, but he's not doing it, and he doesn't know why he's not doing it. It is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny, though, is who was it I was talking to the other day? I don't remember. It was a player. Ted Simmons.
Uh-huh.
He told me that he wished that he had the look that I look. He said, I would just love to have your look. And my kids used to always say, Dad, give him the look. Give him the look. And so I know what you're saying, Kevin. And it's really, I don't know where it came from. I guess it's just a gift.
Yeah.
I'm cursed with it.
You can thank Papa Terry, right?
Stop, Well, I can stop some people in their tracks, and I can get them where they've got nothing to and that's it.
Yeah.
So
I've seen you do that to grown
I'm intimidating.
Men.
Although no, I'm just a little guy.
Yeah, that's a lot of what fantasy camp ends up being, especially the big one down in Jupiter, Scott, when it's the morning meeting. Do not want to be on the other end of Scott scouting report on you. Not that I ever did.
You know, and not just me, but also a lot of other people, too, because when you get on that list, you might, well, we ask you to stand. Actually, we don't do this anymore because we're not allowed. But anyway, we won't go into that. But actually, we would have somebody stand, and then they would be standing for a while.
Yeah.
And we would just kind of go down the row, and everybody would have something. But it was hilarious. We had a lot of fun with it, and we still do. We still do fantasy camps, and we have a great time with them. Matter of fact, we're going to be up at the Field of Dreams in September.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's cool.
That's super cool.
That's going to be all. So when did you say
that? Yeah,
we're
going to have a Ford. That's September. I think we do 20th through the 24th, okay. Something like that. And we have four teams. We'll have a round-robin tournament, and each team will, you know, get to play each other. We'll have a tryout the first day. We'll after the tryout, we'll have a draft, and we'll have our four teams play each other, and then we'll have a championship game, and we'll crown the winner. We give them a ring. I mean, the whole nine That's yards.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That's great. Scott, always great to talk to you. I think we're talking to you later on in the week, so thank you very much. We appreciate it.
That's great. Thanks for having me, guys.
I get the feeling.